back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday. What's left of this Thursday morning? If you want to get in, 251-343-0106, we will take text, I guess, at the conclusion of the program if you so desire to reach out. Joining us now, it's been a little bit, but always like getting him on. A good friend of the program, a good friend of yours truly, former state senator Rusty Glover. Senator, good morning. How you been?
Good morning, Jim. Good to be on the program.
Hey, thanks for coming on. So talk to us a little bit. What you been up to since we last spoke?
Oh, just working hard. The program I have, we go to middle schools and high schools around the state, giving school assemblies with Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, state troopers, drug education council, and try to emphasize the importance of staying absent away from drugs and alcohol, and with the problems with fentanyl and other things that are going on out there, it's very important. The principals are now calling us many times to get us into the school so we can do these programs. And I primarily work the Mobile, Baldwin, and surrounding counties, and the Wiregrass. Sometimes I'll go up to North Alabama or Central Alabama and do a program there. We have some other folks that do programs in other parts of the state. But we're going to do about over 170 programs this year, and it's keeping me busy. And I've been visiting schools also. When we don't have a program, I go and visit the schools and try to meet with counselors and the administrators to try to schedule a program so that we can get this message to the kids.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a very good cause, and I'm glad you're out there educating people. I mean, like, it's something I probably would have gotten some use out of when I was at that age. Let's talk about some other things. And you and I were talking on the phone yesterday about this. The where we are with changing the clocks every 6 months, daylight savings time, standard time, going back and forth. Well, you know, Donald Trump's talking about that now. There's a bill underway, I think, in the Senate right now, in the U.S. Senate, that is. But long ago, not too long ago, you were kind of leading this charge as well, and knowing that, like, we want to lock the clock, but which standard or which time do we want to adhere to is the question.
Yes, and it was around 2014, 2015, and I originally had a bill, then it turned into a resolution, and I got on board with some other states. Other states were passing bill resolutions in the legislature encouraging Congress to make the change. And after about 3 years, I finally got it passed. It was enormously popular amongst the people. In fact, I can honestly say that at least 95% of the people who contacted me or I talked to were very much in favor of this. You have the kids get to spend more time outside playing, which is very important for them after school. There's activities that can take place after work. Not driving home after, you know, during after work in the dark. I even talked to realtors that told me that, you know, in the winter months we can only show homes on the weekend because people aren't willing to take off work or able to take off work for us to show homes. Except on the weekend, we can do this with an extra hour in the afternoon. We can possibly do some of this in the afternoon. You know, it's things we don't even think about that could be affected. And this 4 months in the dark in the afternoon, it's no reason for it. And so that's why I pushed forward. And we finally did get it passed the last year I was in the legislature.
Well, how did we get here? And there's a history to be told here. I mean, was there ever really a tangible benefit for people in this state, I guess?
Well, I believe it was 1916, the Germans, during World War One, instituted it, and then 2 years later, the United States did this, and this was to have more daylight hours in the workplace, and it would save energy, but that's what it was for originally. That's why it was put into place, daylight saving time. And what my resolution did, as well as other resolutions around the country, was to create a new standard time. Now, what that meant was that we weren't going to do away with daylight saving time. We were going to, once daylight saving times went into effect, which is March 9th, then it would stay at that. The clocks would never change. And then when it, you know, in November, when the time changes, generally goes to, like, it's 5 o'clock. It's dark at 5 o'clock. Well, it'd be dark at 6 o'clock. A little more activities could take place in the winter months. And the arguments, the ones that were against it, which was very few in number, were those who were concerned about the kids at the bus stops, which, you know, I can understand that. I can understand that as being a problem. But once you think about it, around mid-September, it varies. Different schools have different start times. But around mid-September, you start having kids in the dark at the bus stop. So it's not like if we make this change, we're suddenly going to turn the switch off. This is a transition that goes on from September on through the winter months. So it wouldn't be that much of a difference. In fact, people wouldn't even notice it anymore. I was talking to some county superintendents around the time that I introduced this. It was getting a little play around the state and with the media. And so they knew about it. They came to me and said, look, we love your resolution or your bill. We love this. We want this to happen. And don't listen to anybody talk about the bus stops. That will not be a problem. If it is a problem for that 2.5 months, we can adjust the bill schedule an hour and make up for it. Why did I say 2.5 months? Because if you think about it, during that 4 month period that we're in standard time, think about this. You have 2 weeks of Christmas, a week of Thanksgiving here, a week of Mardi Gras, other various holidays, teacher work days. You actually come out to about 2.5 months of actual school days that are affected. And school superintendent says, hey, we'll adjust the schedule an hour to keep everybody happy around the state, around the country or whatnot, you know, having that extra hour in the afternoon. So they were definitely on board of, you know, getting this resolution passed. So it really kind of takes out that argument about the kids on the bus stop. Again, they're already, most of them are already, not all of them, but most of them are already in the dark in mid-September, October, before we go to standard time. So it would not be like we're, you know, turning off the switch
right
whenever if we changed it.
Well, it's, I think, you know, I mean, you look at it now, are you surprised it's still around? Did we still do it this way? Because it does seem very antiquated.
Very, very surprised. And even in 2022, the U.S. Senate passed the Sunshine Protection Act of 2022. They passed it 100-0, 100-0 in the U.S. Senate, and Nancy Pelosi sat on it. So that would give you an indication. If you can get those partisan beings in the United States Senate to come together and all vote for one bill, you know there's a lot of momentum. And Nancy Pelosi sat on it. And that bill would have been exactly what my resolution, other state legislators' resolutions around the country, it would create a new standard time. Once we go to March 9th, as it is this year, we would stay on that time. And we would not be having the 4 months of darkness in the afternoon.
Yeah, once we spring forward, it stays there. You know, we won't not fall back.
And really, one of the reasons I was, you know, often to discuss this was that there's been some media reports that Trump wants to stay on standard time. He wants to get rid of the daylight saving time, the switching, and that's got some people confused. What he's referring to is what the Senate passed, which would be where we, after daylight saving times goes into effect, we would not go off of that again. And that's because, I mean, all those 2 or 3 years that I was working on this, I didn't have a single person that said we need to stay on standard time. I mean, you know, it's bad enough to have four months of being in the dark in the afternoons. We sure don't want to switch from 4 months to 12 months. So there's a little confusion in terminology, but I think probably what he means is that we would not have the time change anymore. We go to a what the U.S. Senate bill said, a new standard time where once we go into daylight saving time, it's permanent. It stays in.
joined by former state senator Rusty Glover here on the program. Let's talk about the ongoing of One Montgomery, Alabama. Senator, you watch this stuff, and just your best guess, though, like we watched this gambling fight go on last year, and I thought it would be dead for the quadrennium. But am I off thinking this? I don't think it's going to happen in 2026 because that's an election year. And then who knows beyond that with a new governor, what that entails. So maybe they will bring it back this year. And the reason being that there's such a small window here, because if you don't get it through this window this time, it might not happen for another decade.
Yeah, that's right. It's not going to be in 26, the 25 session, which starts next month. I think there's a possibility. I really haven't talked to as many legislators as I usually do during the year this year. So I haven't talked to too many of them that have indicated that this is going to happen this year. This is going to be proposed. All I pretty much hear is from what I hear on your show and those being interviewed. So I really don't know what they're going to do, but I know that there is talk about it, and there is a possibility that it will definitely be brought up where it will have momentum to do anything.
Because I don't know that there's an appetite. I just think there were so many hurt feelings last year, and there were a lot of hurt feelings. And even if you're for it, you could be convinced. Do we really want to go through this? I was talking to one lawmaker. I need to explain it to me. They're like, look, it would have to start in the Senate. The House isn't going to do it again. But the last time the Senate put a bill out and they sent it to the House, it came back with a bunch of changes. It had Medicaid expansion in it and a bunch of crazy things. They're not going to want to go through that whole rigmarole again. In dealing with whatever the House might do, the idea would be, well, we don't know that they will just accept what we give them at face value and vote it up or down. They would send it to conference committee, and then we have this, you know, this whole roundabout again, and that's going to make a lot of lawmakers very reluctant to take the plunge once again, I think.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I've never been a proponent of gambling of any kind, and I know there are some that are like that. I think most of them in the legislature are pro gambling. They are pro doing something different, and it's just what kind is what keeps the bill from actually going forward. But I think you're right. I don't think they want to get this tangled up. It did take so much of the energy out of the session last year, that so many bills that they were working on, a lot of them local bills or bills that were statewide that pertained mostly to their area, they were lost in the shuffle because so much time and energy was put on the gambling issue that they were not able to get what they wanted accomplished.
What's changed? Doesn't it seem like the gambling discussions that we used to have when you were in the Senate, or even before you were in the Senate, and now it's almost like it's going to happen eventually. It's like it's treated like this foregone conclusion. I don't know that it will happen eventually, but it just seems the players are different. The discussions are way different. I mean, this isn't like what we used to talk about when Siegelman was around pushing this stuff.
Well, the amendment failed, the vote of the people. And so that was the year before, actually it was 3 years before I got to the legislature. And so there was really no talk of gambling, really. I mean, it would be somebody that would introduce a bill, you know, every 2 or 3 years or whatever, but it was not seriously considered at all. And so it was assumed that gambling was dead because, you know, the people voted it down. And then when it did come back up with all the scandal and the trials and the briberies and all of these things that were going on in 2009, 2010, people just assumed that it's never going to be brought up again. It's just tainted too much with scandal and corruption. And then once it came back up after I got out, well, actually it was starting to come back up before I got out of the legislature. It came so close a couple of times that it gives a lot of momentum or confidence to those promoting it that it has a chance to pass. And I think you're going to see it, every other year or but probably not 26.
Well, it feels like this.
Other years, it's gonna be brought up.
Senator, it feels like this to me every single time they try it, that they get more aggressive every time. And, I mean, this isn't Del Marsh anymore getting the dog tracks and the Porch Creeks in a room together and trying to do something. They're getting more aggressive. They're adding sports gambling. They're creating big gaming commissions. The bill, just to me, it's not something you would expect out of a Republican supermajority, but we're past that point. I mean, it's a weird Republican supermajority. But the evolution here is this. Every time they try and they get the momentum, they just overreach just slightly, and it crumbles under its own weight every single time.
I think you're right. I think it goes a step further than it might have had it. You know, if there's a limit on how far they can go before it will fail, and they seem to overstep each time, and that's, I think you're right. I think you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what has happened.
Yeah, so people like you out there that just won a lottery, I mean, it's not the lottery that is losing. It is all the extra, all the hangers-on, all the trains hitched up to the locomotive there that are causing it to fail. But, I maybe they'll figure it out. But anyway, we'll see. Hey, last question.
Before we go to something else, I want to make it clear. I'm not for any form of gambling. This is a terrible way to put up government, and even the lottery. It brings gambling to every convenience store in every district, and that's just it's so destructive to the poor and the middle class, and puts the middle class into poverty. It's just it's so destructive. But go ahead. What's the next?
What about you? What you got? You still look at something in the future here, Senator?
Yes, I'm looking forward. Since the race for lieutenant governor, I was looking to run for the seat that I occupied before Senate 34. Jack Williams said that he would run one more term and then run statewide. So I said that's good, that's fine, and so I'm patiently waiting and looking forward to serving again. I've missed it quite a bit, and I look forward to the possibility if I'm blessed to be brought back in by the citizens of my district, I will be looking forward to serving people.
Senator, you're always a gentleman. We always appreciate you coming on this program. Let's talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Have a great day.
You too. That was former State Senator Rusty Glover there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Perhaps I may become a highway.